Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. I hope that you've all had a good week. It's nice to see so many smiling faces and so few frostbitten ones. My name is Blake McNulty. I am this morning's representative from the church board. I have a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read the announcements listed in the order of service. Be sure to take the order of service home to read. In addition, there are a few other announcements. For those who haven't picked up your SCWUUC CWUCs, SCWUUC fruits and nuts, they are in the front foyer. Please pick them up today. Also, there's a search for Christmas Eve reading and music ideas. The worship committee is looking for readings and poems and music for a special Christmas Eve program. Please get in touch with Paul Fackler. That service will be at 4 p.m. on the 24th. Also, the high school youth will be selling treats after the service to raise money for their trips to Appalachia this summer. There will also be a few UU and peace-related items for sale that might make some nice last-minute gifts. Pick up a Support Peace car magnet, a UU mug, and or some peace bumper stickers after the service in today in the social hall. Today's designated collection is for the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. This is the UU organization that works to promote economic rights, advance environmental justice, defend civil liberties, and help in humanitarian crises. A few weeks ago, many of you took home a guest at your table box. Today, we will collect those boxes with the offertory. Alternately, you can write a check to either the UU Service Committee or UUSC. You could also write a check to LCUUC and designate in the memo that it is for UUSC. And if you want to give cash and get tax credit, put the cash in an envelope in front of the aisles and indicate your name and just write UUSC on them. All right, I think that's all the announcements. I invite you to greet those seated around you. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interest you. I'll be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church, or if you have been visiting for a while and would like information about becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk with you about that as well. If you're visiting today with your children, it is our normal custom for the children to remain with us until after the offertory, at which time they go to their religious education classes. However, today's service is intergenerational, and the children will remain in the service with us. Regular religious education classes will resume next Sunday. Nursery care is available today for younger children, and it's located just outside the door to my right, across the entryway. We always enjoy getting to know our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you'd introduce them. You're going to have to holler because I can't see. Welcome.
We invited our parents, my dad and my stepmom, Kathy and Keith Farnham, and Chuck and I own Pesky Christ's parents to come up.
Welcome. If any guests brought themselves and feel comfortable introducing yourself, this would be a good time to do so. We'd really enjoy meeting you. Okay. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. Please put your cell phone on silence mode during the service, so be nice, not naughty, because somebody's watching, listening too. I hope you find this morning's service heartwarming. Our speaker today is, of course, our own Reverend Jane Espenson.
Our opening words today are adapted from Israel Zangwill. Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come, and you shall know peace and joy.
Our chalice lighting today. We hallow this time together by kindling the light of our faith, the light of our heritage. May its light bring us comfort and joy on this fourth Sunday of Advent.
the work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, and to make music in the heart.
This is a time in our service for our offertory. Freely we have received of gifts that minister to our needs of body and spirit. Gladly we bring to our church and its wide concerns a portion of this beauty.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the and dreams to share. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere. Yuletide by the fireside and joyful Christmas time is here, we'll be drawing near. Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the bells in the air, beauty everywhere, yuletide by the fireside, and joyful memories there. Christmas time is here. Spirit through the year.
Today, for our joys and concerns, we're simply going to be lighting candles. I'll be lighting three candles, one for our joys and one for our concerns, and the last for peace on earth, now and into the future. I would like to just read these words before I light the candles, and then we will join in singing Silent Night. In this night, the stars left their habitual places and kindled wildfire tidings that spread faster than sound. In this night, the shepherds left their posts to shout the new slogans into each other's clogged ears. In this night, the foxes left their warm burrows and the lions spoke with deliberation. This is the end of the revolution. In this night, roses fooled the earth and began to bloom in the snow. Please take a moment to just contemplate and reflect while I read these words of our meditation. These are words by Lao Tzu, and it's entitled, If There Be Peace. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. And if there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart.
A Star by Margaret Gooding. They told me that when Jesus was born, a star appeared in the heavens above the place where the young child lay. When I was very young, I had no trouble believing wondrous things. I believed in the star. It was a wonderful miracle, part of a long-ago story foretelling an uncommon life. They told me a supernova appeared in the heavens in its dying burst of fire. When I was older and believed in science and reason, I believed the story of the star explained. But I found I was unwilling to give up the star, fitting symbol for the birth of one whose uncommon life has been long remembered. The star explained became the star understood for Jesus, for Buddha, for Zarathustra. Why not a star? Some bright star shines somewhere in the heavens each time a child is born. Who knows what it may foretell? Who knows what uncommon life may yet again unfold if we but give it a chance?
Today is the fourth day of Advent, a few days before our celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. These weeks before Christmas are filled with anticipation and with hope that Christmas this year will be just as beautiful or maybe even better than last year. We think about the presents we're going to be giving people we care about, and we're thinking about the gifts that we're going to be getting. There is excitement in the air, a special feeling of happiness that fills our hearts and our minds. There is baking and decorating, tree cutting and bearing, shopping and the making of lists and the wrapping of presents. And at night, when all through the house not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse, there are dreams of sugar plums dancing in our heads. Magic, magic, magic is all around. Magic and the story of the birth of one little baby a long, long time ago. This is the feeling of Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas, and there are many interpretations of this story. But the one that I want us to think about today, in this hour we have to think about life from different perspectives, is that Christmas is not the story of something magical or miraculous. It is the story of something normal and everyday-ish. A woman is pregnant, and she's visiting another town with her husband, and all of a sudden she realizes that she's about to give birth. An unexpected event, yes, but a common event. The mother, Mary, and her husband, Joseph, don't know anyone in this town, so they go to an inn, a hotel, to see if there's room where they can go, where Mary can lie down, so that Joseph can run and get a doctor or some person who knows about delivering babies in order to help Mary. But there are no rooms at this inn, so Mary and Joseph have to keep walking. But then it becomes very clear to Mary that she has to lie down very soon. And so they go to a regular stable where there are regular animals and where there is comfortable hay. And Mary lies down, and with Joseph's help, she gives birth to a little boy whom they name Jesus. It's nighttime, and there's only starlight in the dark sky. And it's quiet and peaceful, and the baby is healthy, and all of the love that Mary and Joseph have for each other now falls upon the face of this beautiful child they hold in their arms. And yes, it is a miracle. All of our lives began this way, more or less, ordinary and a miracle. We may not have been born out of town or on a bed of hay, but we were all born with our mother as one of the first faces we looked upon, and perhaps even our Father is nearby to hold us in the first few minutes when we have our first breath. We are asked today to remember Jesus not because of his birth, but because of the life that he led. He was a special person because he was so ordinary, just like us. But he tried to make something of his life, and that's then when he became special. But how did he become who he became? Did it happen overnight? Did it happen while he was still young? Or did he have to grow into himself over time? The baby Jesus became, the man he became, was slow over time. And he became the man he became because of the parents that he had, perhaps, because of the friends he made along the way, because of the teachers that he met, and because he had some wise people who were at his birth, who perhaps always kept in contact with him as he was growing up. Wise people who listened to his ideas, who wanted to know how he was doing, who gave him their opinions and their thoughts and their guidance, to help him as he grew up so that he could become all that he was meant to become. The story of Jesus is not about a miracle that only happened to one person on earth. It is the story of us all. I was in the hospital last night visiting a young child who has suddenly become very ill and no one knows why. Her life hangs in the balance, and not even the most learned people seem to be able to find the key that will save her. I sat beside her in her quiet room, and I was reminded once again, in that brief hour that we were together, how very fragile life is, how difficult it can be. And it was then I thought about this service today, about the story of Jesus. And I was reminded in that room that the true miracle of life aren't those special days like the ones before Christmas, but that the truly special days are all of the days of our lives in between. The days when we all just get up and get on with things, where nothing big happens, where nothing terrible happens, where just regular things happen. Getting up, getting dressed, having breakfast, getting our homework together, finding our backpacks, running to the bus, chatting with our friends, going to our classes, eating lunch, laughing and thinking and planning for that day and for tomorrow and for the next day and for the weekend and for the next year and for growing up and for who we want to be when we get big. And as I sat next to this little girl and looked at her beautiful young face and held her small, delicate hand, I thought about how she was in the hospital, and Christmas was only a few days away. And at that moment, the greatest gift I wished that she could receive would be the chance once again to have a normal daily life where she could grow up and see how special she was. I wanted the stars in the heavens to shine upon her. I wanted three wise men to come to her bedside with gifts they have brought from faraway lands, gifts to enrich her life, wisdom, patience, and love. I wanted her to live a simple life, a quiet life, away from the hustle and bustle and pressure the world can place upon us all. I wanted her to be surrounded by the lowing of cattle and the bleating of sheep, the purring of cats and the nuzzle of a wet-nosed dog. I wanted for her to be held in the arms of her parents in the quiet of the night, and for her to see herself as others see her. A miracle, a blessing, the brightest star in the sky. A child who matters to the world simply because she exists. I wanted her to know that she is loved, that she is the miracle the story of Jesus is telling us. Amore vincit omnia. Love conquers all. And that is the true message of Christmas that I want us to keep in mind today and for all of the days of our lives. We bring you this morning in our intergenerational service the ancient story of the Nativity. We ask you to listen to this story for the first time, as though it really were the first time, before myth was mistaken for history. Imagine that this story is radically new. Imagine that after years of hearing story of story of men and women bowing abjectly before the might of kings and emperors, czars, dictators, chieftains, and tyrants, you hear a story instead in which three kings kneel before a tiny child in praise of possibility. Imagine that after hearing story after story of long wars and bloody battles and heroes slaying their enemies and persecutions and pogroms, you one day instead hear the quiet story of a birth, the story of a humble carpenter and his gentle wife, shepherds in the starlit fields, animals in the stables, the story of the deep longing for peace. Imagine that you are hearing for the first time a story that questions the assumption that power resides in armies and armadas, and that magic swords and sacks of gold are the means to the end. Imagine instead that you hear a story that affirms the strong and transforming power of love. And imagine, too, the day when everyone who hears the story and says, "I believe," will be talking about the meaning, which is love, and not the plot that has been handed down. We bring you now today the children of Lake Country UU, this ancient story, this ever new story. I invite you all to listen.
In those days, a long, long time ago, over 2,000 years ago, a decree went out from the Emperor Caesar Augustus. And he said,
"All the world should be registered so that they may pay taxes."
Everyone had to go to the place where they were born in order to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. They had to travel a very long way, and they set off on their journey on a dark night with the pathway lit only by the stars. And now please join in singing the words in your order of service, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." And you can stay seated for these hymns.
Thank you.
working? There we go. While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. There was no room at the inn, so they went instead to a stable behind the inn where there were animals. So now we need our stable animals, our donkeys. Here they come. So while our animals are coming into our stable, let us sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Welcomed Mary and Joseph into the stable. They were even kind enough to give up their hay-filled manger so the baby could have a bed. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger. And now we need our shepherds and our sheep. And as they come forward, let us sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them. And this angel was truly magnificent. And the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. The multitude came forth, And this multitude was saying,
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people.
Then the angels left them and went into heaven. And then one of the shepherds said,
Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which has been made known to us.
And now as our shepherds go to Bethlehem, our choir will come up and we'll sing the first Noel. they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger, just as the angel had foretold. When they saw this, they related to everyone what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. The shepherds and sheep knelt down, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And now we will need our three wise persons and our special star. And as they come in, we'll sing, We Three Kings. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, three wise persons who were kings from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked,
Where is the child who was born king of the Jews? For we observed a star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.
The wise persons learned of a prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and so they set out for Bethlehem. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising in the east. And they followed the star until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the stable, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So now we have gathered our whole cast of characters. Let's pause for just a moment and look at this scene. A special night with stars and angels, shepherds and wise persons, and animals as witnesses to a special birth. No doubt that if this scene did take place over 2,000 years ago, it would have looked very different. But the love and the mystery and the wonder present at the birth of a special child then and now, they are the same. So we will end our pageant by singing Joy to the World.
among us now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all.